side of the pond. He is DJ Switzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Hey, bud.
Hey, man.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah, a little tired. Yeah. A little tuckered out.
I mean, it doesn't help that it's 11:45. We're just kicking off.
Yeah, we're not making things better for you.
No. No, this new later schedule, now that we've adjusted Monday nights, it's always been our recording night, at least over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But you now have a later schedule on Mondays, which
right,
means
pretty late schedule.
We push back. You get here roughly around 11, which no big deal in that respect. But I think it's not necessarily the lateness that's really catching up me so much as last week was a mayhem soccer week.
Yeah. Like you had a few things going on.
I love soccer. Last week might have been too much soccer.
Yeah. A few too many coals on the fire there.
Yeah. Lots of coals on the fire, actually. Poured directly onto me, I felt like, a lot of the times. So Monday we recorded. I was just saying this to you. Yeah. Monday we recorded. Tuesday I had nothing, aside from normal soccer work. Then Wednesday we had a game. FC Cincinnati did. So that's
right.
Literally, I had a normal work day. And then
pretty
I
big
went
match,
right
yeah.
into a game where we played Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Right. You had to get the bench all extra clean for Joe Cole to sit.
Joe Cole refused to sit on a dirty bench.
It's got to be clean, guys.
Yeah. Then Thursday, I had an indoor match, which kicks off late, like 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Then Friday, my wife and I went to a Reds game. We took our kids for the first time, and it went into extra innings.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. The Cubs had a nice come from behind. A local kid actually doing the slaughtering a little bit as well. So
yeah.
Damn Schwarber.
Those Middletown kids.
Yeah, well,
they'll get you. That's, every time.
Listen to this podcast right now, you're getting done by a Middletown kid. All that said, then Saturday we had a match again with FC Cincinnati, another big one with Louisville City coming to town. And then Sunday I had my own Sunday League match. So
that's your fault.
That's
on you.
The indoor and the Sunday League match are both my own self-torture, but still, that was just, it was too much. On top of the fact that I work a 9-to-5 job that's literally soccer all day. I love my job. I really do. But this is, that was a little too much.
We got a little bit of a reprieve there. Club's going to be out of town a little bit over the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're not back home for another 3 weeks.
Yeah, so no home matches where you're kind of doing a lot more work and
mm-hmm.
have to be, you know, tied down to stuff for longer periods of time.
Yeah, still have to work the matches, by the way. Sometimes my boss forgets. He'll say things right before we kick off our last home match of a 3-game stretch in 8 days, and he'll say things like, "Hey, everyone, you know, enjoy this. You know, we'll get the next few weekends off." And I go, "We do? Is this someone coming in to do my job? I'm unsure of how this works." So, anyway, but no, it was good. 5 points and from 9 against the top 3 teams in the East. I'm pretty happy about all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd say. That we'll take that.
Yeah.
Let's go fantasy real quick, where I'm sure we won't take that, because I'm sure this just sadness and bad news.
It's mostly bad news for you this
week. Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds about right.
You fell 5 places to 46th. I improved 1 place to 47th. I'm now just 5 points behind you with a few weeks to run left in the fantasy English Premier League. Chad Arnett's Gem City FC, 8 shows now on top of the table. 40-point gap looking pretty likely. He's going to run away with the title this year. Switching over stateside for the fantasy. Leader, 99 Problems, ain't one. 3 shows running, no longer. And now sitting at the top of the MLS Fantasy League is the committee, Derek Friedman, unseating 99 Problems, top 100, ain't one after a 3-week run at the top there. So that is a bit of a change that we're seeing there. But overall, you fell 1 place to bottom of the table.
Oh.
Propping that up properly now.
Well, at least I won't fall next week.
Yeah, I improved 1 place to 35th. So there is your fantasy update. And let's get into a very, very full weekend of football that unfolded over the last few days.
I guess we should start in the FA Cup.
Should we?
Well, seems important.
You didn't even, it wasn't important enough for you to even watch live.
This is true. This is a true statement.
Any sort of gloating that Jeremy does on this week's podcast give him a sly, like, snide eye while you're doing listening to him, because it's crap.
I didn't watch it.
He didn't actually watch the match. Yeah. This is, what, our fourth Wrong Side of the Pond Derby of the year.
Yeah.
And you didn't even take it seriously enough to actually sit down for 90 minutes and enjoy the thing.
Nope. Driving around Bardstown, Kentucky, going to bourbon distilleries.
Well, to be fair, Bardstown is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool little joint.
Mm-hmm.
Had to go to Mammy's.
Yeah.
Some food.
Mammy's is pretty tasty.
Pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get that fried green tomato BLT.
Pretty much anything fried from there is aces.
Yeah, so. It's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this match did happen. You watched it, I'm assuming.
I did, yeah.
In your guys' taking place in your guys' future home.
Yeah, which makes me slightly nervous considering we were absolute crap at Wembley this year. and that continued it this weekend when Spurs fell 4-2. Is that what it ended up?
It ended up being 4-2, yes. That's okay. Correct.
I pretty much quit watching once it hit 3. Spurs twice falling behind and twice coming back, but Chelsea getting two late ones, able to peg them back in the FA Cup semifinal. Yeah, Spurs moving into Wembley permanently next season, at least.
Yeah, semi-permanently.
Yeah, semi-permanently. But it's a season of permanence as the new White Hart Lane is completed. And, yeah, this makes me feel really nervous about that endeavor. Because Spurs crap at Wembley when playing there for the Champions League this year. And that crap just has continued into this cup competition as well.
And it's troubling because this is... Yeah, I was talking to my buddy Andrew, who I work with, and he's a Spurs fan as well. And
sure.
He was like, you know, it's horrible timing for Spurs because next year is a very pivotal year as mm-hmm. far as just the growth and maturity of this young side that is continually winning Young Player of the Year awards.
Mm-hmm.
Bagged their sixth of the past 7 years this weekend.
Yeah, one of those scoring in this match, Dele Alli.
Yeah.
He's over 20 goals for the season, an incredible feat for a player of his age.
Mm-hmm. But a pivotal year next year,
yeah,
next season, and you're going to be playing it. I mean, we see what's happening with West Ham right now, mm-hmm. moving into the big cavernous Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, and Wembley is a pretty cavernous stadium, and that's just so freaking huge.
Right.
How's
that going to work? Are they just going to have to tarp off a bunch of sections? I mean, they're certainly not filling that, are they?
Well, I would presume that they're not going to allow them to sell. Maybe they will allow them to sell the full allotment of tickets for certain matches. But Spurs did fill Wembley on multiple occasions during their Champions League run. So it wouldn't be unrealistic for them to do that. But at the same time... It's very different than playing at White Hart Lane. If you've never been to White Hart Lane or haven't watched a whole lot of matches there, it is a stadium that is very tight. One of the smallest pitches in the Premier League as well. And Wembley's a much larger pitch. There's a bit of a change tactically in that sense. But it's also just the atmosphere is completely different.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned like, oh, you know, West Ham moving into the Olympic Stadium, and it's pretty cavernous, and that's probably contributed coming from another really tiny ground. Spurs' new stadium is, while much larger, almost double the size of their current one, is designed to actually maintain that closeness.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they noticed when, you know, Arsenal built the Emirates was that they lost that intimacy, and it was something that Spurs were desperate to make sure that they recreated in the new stadium. So I think once they get into that, I don't know that it's big of a deal, but it is absolutely a concern. Andrew's absolutely right. This is a team that Spurs, they've improved since last season. They're in a clear upward trajectory.
Yeah.
You'd have to think, you know, finishing third last year, they're looking pretty much a lock to finish second this
right.
year if they can't happen to catch Chelsea. And look, that's still within the realm of possibility.
Very much in the cards.
But at the same time, you would have to presume if they're following their current path, like that means first is a realistic possibility for next year. And look, I know that this doesn't always mean like the trajectories don't always follow the same pattern from year on year on year, but that's where they're heading. And if you experience something remotely like what West Ham's doing or remotely like what's been happening at Wembley this year with Spurs, yeah, it's a huge concern.
Quickly diving into this match just to hit all the big talking points.
Mm-hmm.
Willian with a first half brace, both goals coming off of some rough challenges from your guys. Actually, the yellow card came for the free kick, and no card given actually for the penalty.
Yeah,
which is always a little weird when you see that happen. But
yeah, somewhat.
So Willian scores from the spot, scores a free kick. Harry Kane in the middle of that though gets, I think, my favorite goal of this match. They were all fun goals to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Kane letting a ball basically just duck down and ramp up off his head was so amazing.
It was one of those. My wife and I were watching this game live. We both like immediately turned to each other and said something to the effect of, like, I would have never thought to have done what he did there.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't have even crossed my mind.
Yeah.
To have done that. And
hey, I'm going to bend down.
I'm going to bend down and let it just skip off my head. And it was one of those things where if you can't appreciate Harry Kane after watching that goal, you can't, like, you're letting a bias get in your way. That was an unreal finish. The spatial awareness, the ability to know where Courtois was for a positioning there. And he's a big keeper who's capable of getting down quickly.
Yeah.
It was perfect, perfectly placed, so unpredictable, and really highlights the type of striker that he is. Like, he is an absolutely complete striker in every sense of the word.
Dele Alli makes it 2-2. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, a really good goal, an amazing ball in from Eriksen to find him right in front of the goal. And it was looking like, wow, maybe we're going with extras. I mean, this is going to be a barn burner. Then Chelsea makes some substitutions. They bring in Eden Hazard. They bring in that guy. Diego, I think it's Costa.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring those two guys off the bench. Nice to kind of have those in your back pocket to throw out.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry, you guys brought in Kyle Walker shortly after that. Mm-hmm. To counter the
depth of the big names on our roster. It did kind of show a little bit. Spurs have a very good, like, top 13 players, and then we have a lot of promise behind that, but it's just that, it's promise. And, you know, they brought in Nduku, came in after that, and then
who hasn't really been playing a whole lot.
He's only seen the field, I think, 14, 15 times so far this season. Almost all substitute. And then the last one, I think, Anoma was the last one that came on. Either way, it's just a sign of kind of where Spurs are and the depth that they don't necessarily have when compared to a side like Chelsea, who can spend a bit more.
And it was Eden Hazard getting a nice goal. Ball kind of recycled back out to the top of the box.
Yeah.
Off corner. He takes a couple steps, and you can see he looks in, sees this little lane form, and fires the ball straight through it into the far post.
Mm. Tasty.
And then Matic fires off a goal he'll never score ever again in his life.
No. It was a bullet. Is a little surprising the goal didn't lift off with the shot. It was crazy, incredibly hard.
I'm surprised he didn't dent the crossbar.
Yeah, as it did just dink in off the bottom. But there was the storyline. This was something that you worried about. Like, if Spurs had won this match, it gave them a psychological advantage heading into the Premier League.
It would have been a huge psychological blow for Chelsea to once again be reminded something that I've still think and have thought all season is Spurs are the better team on the whole.
Feels good saying that and hearing it. You see where we sit in the table.
Second by only 4 points.
Yeah. As you said, though, there's still season left to play.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nothing sewn up. I'm still convinced that we're not going to be able to erase that gap. But
yeah, Chelsea play Southampton mm-hmm. Tuesday. You guys play, I think, at Crystal Palace on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace has not been an easy out for anybody lately.
No. I was going to say, a couple weeks ago, you would have looked at that and gone, okay, like that's a pretty much a 3-point pickup right there. Palace doing a number this weekend.
Yeah, they're feeling it right now.
Yeah, so we'll get to them in a moment. Let's go to the other half of the FA Cup fixtures at the weekend. Pep Guardiola is going to finish his first season in, I think, forever as a coach without a trophy.
No trophy for you.
No.
Bald guy of the year. Mm-hmm. Get that trophy.
Yeah, good for him.
This loss was almost indicative of year one Pep Guardiola.
Mm-hmm.
Losing a match you should have absolutely won at a pivotal moment.
It's one of those, I think he is learning a big lesson this year. English football is a completely different beast than mm-hmm. the rest of European football. That it may be part of the reason why their teams are struggling in Europe at the moment is just how different the game is from the domestic or the continental version of what's happening in this sport. But I don't know. I don't think it's an indictment necessarily on Guardiola. I think he's just going to have to learn. And I'm really intrigued to see how he handles this offseason, what type of players he brings in, what he learned this year, and what kind of team he's going to unfold next year. I think that's going to be the real sign of how good of a manager he is and what he's capable of with this team.
Is there one person you think on that Man City starting 11, or at least someone that's been in the picture in the last couple of years, that you think automatically that there's this guy clearly does not have a future here anymore?
I mean, Yaya Toure is the one who like sticks out. Like,
yeah.
It was kind of shocking when he worked his way back into the team this year. But I think
I can see the backline be revamped some. I mean, yeah, I think definitely. Vincent Kompany is out the door. He's done.
Yep. Maybe they keep him around as a club ambassador at best. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely areas in the squad that are going to get it redone, and he's going to think of a way to redo it. And I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen with it, but. I think the other side of the coaching equation in this match was Wenger, and I loved this comment from him post-match where he said, "This victory is an answer for all of my haters."
Well,
and I'm sorry.
I'm so glad you brought that up, though.
Why?
I actually put this out on Twitter as a poll question mm-hmm. that day of to the Wenger out crowd. Do you actually want them to win the FA Cup?
Yeah, right.
Because if they do...
Is that 3 years in a row if they get it now?
They didn't win last year, did they?
Yeah. I can't remember. But anyway, it'd be three of the last four, at bare minimum. They won two in a row. If I'm an Arsenal fan, I think I don't know. This is different for me as a Spurs fan. I want a trophy, period. It doesn't really matter where it comes from. I just want it.
Sure.
Arsenal fans, they clamor and say that they fight for titles every year, and
allegedly they
for portions of the season they fight for titles, but to win three trophies in 4 years, like that's a dream come true from my perspective. So I feel like I'm not the right person to answer this. You as a Chelsea fan, maybe a little bit more equipped. Would you feel content with that trophy again?
If I'm an Arsenal fan, I don't think it even matters. That's the problem. I don't think it matters if I feel content or not. I think if they win that FA Cup, I think even in the fact that they got to the FA Cup final, I think it pretty much seals the deal that Wenger isn't going anywhere.
If he wins a trophy.
This was a massive – this is what I said in the poll question. Them winning it is going to be a massive victory for the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Status quo wins. Why change? We want another FA Cup, you know? That's what they'll say.
He was successful in some form, in some cup.
But yeah, I think it's a conundrum for the Wenger out crowd. Mm-hmm. Because obviously you always want your club to win things and you always want your club to succeed. But yeah, if there's no way that Wenger has any reason to leave, or that the front office has any reason to push him out or ask him to resign if he wins the FA Cup.
I mean, here's the thing. Arsenal fans, they talk a mean game. They buy planes to drag over top of their stadiums. They do all of that. But here's the real problem. They don't do anything else about it. Like, that stadium is still full on a week-to-week basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to keep happening until they actually decide to act with their pocketbooks a little bit. I think that's really what it's going to come down to for Arsenal, is they're going to have to feel some sort of financial effect from that. And I think if they were able to organize something in some respect that way, like, yeah, maybe they'd find some some legs to walk with. But I hope what you're predicting here comes to fruition. We'll say that much.
I don't want that to come to fruition. I want Chelsea to win the FA Cup.
I want Arsenal to
win. I think most Spurs fans.
Oh my god! I want Arsenal to win this.
Yeah, I think most
Spurs fans. I want fans Arsenal to win damn it! This is such a thing for everyone. This is just now dawning on me. I want them to win a cup.
Let me also throw out this. This does create for Chelsea fans. This does create the nightmare scenario where we throw away the league. And then cherry on top, we actually lose to Wenger in a trophy match.
I would love that. That is actually best.
That is nightmare scenario for Chelsea.
Because here's what I would really love about that scenario the most is because one, you know, that would obviously involve Spurs winning the league title, which is obviously a much more prestigious title of the two. If we're being honest just a smidge. But what would be extra special about that was. The justification that would be coming out of the Arsenal crowd, like, oh, well, we won a trophy too.
And we beat the title. We finished them off and we
advanced won further.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
They'll come up with those stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I really look forward to that. Either way, the lack of St. Tonnerham's Day this year is going to be delightful. I know it's mathematically still possible that it could happen, but... It's looking very...
We've got to be close to that not being the case. I mean, we got to be 1 week away from that being killed off, right?
Yeah, I would hope so.
So, yeah, Chelsea and Arsenal have a date.
With Destiny.
With Destiny, the week after the season.
You guys seem to be doing okay at Wembley of late, which sounds pretty good to you probably because... While Spurs are going to be living there next year, it's pretty likely that Chelsea are going to be living there the season after.
Yes.
As they get a new Stamford Bridge renovation as well. So, it's weird how it's different in that way.
I think Chelsea should just buy you guys out of White Hart Lane for another year. We'll christen Wembley. Your new stadium and you guys stay at Wembley.
I'm not a big fan of that plan.
No, you don't like that?
What if you guys play at Wembley next year and we play at Stamford Bridge? We'll paint everything navy blue.
Yeah, just tint it down a little bit. Just
put a little black layer over top of everything. Put a little
Instagram frame on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move over to the Premier League. There were actually a few matches.
Can we talk about the ones that were pushed back and the ones that are yet to happen? Because it's... This will take just a moment, but there are four delayed matches due to the FA Cup round. City, West Brom, Arsenal, Sunderland, Leicester, Spurs, and Chelsea, Southampton. Chelsea and Southampton do get away right away, Tuesday. You guys are back in action. Midweek action also for Borough and Sunderland, a six-pointer that likely matters nothing. Arsenal, Leicester, Palace, and Tottenham. These are all on Wednesday. And then City United, a little Manchester Derby action in the midweek on Thursday.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, it is a little weird one. It was supposed to be a couple weekends ago, but I think it was FA Cup action again.
Yeah, FA Cup back. Lost to that, yeah.
So let's talk about the action that did happen. West Ham 0, Everton 0. Odd seeing Everton closed out for a change.
Yeah, and it was actually West Ham playing well at home.
Mm-hmm.
If you call
a 0-0 draw.
Well,
yeah.
Which I think they probably would at this point.
Yeah, I think they would.
Swansea gets past Stoke 2-0, so vital points. Late for the Swans.
Mm-hmm.
Hull also getting vital points as they get a 2-0 victory over Watford.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, there were two matches. United getting past Burnley. Wayne Rooney scored a goal from about 2 inches away.
Who?
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
He tapped it in from about 6 inches out there.
Former Manchester United, yeah. Everton striker.
Future Everton.
Yeah.
Past and future Everton.
Big losses, though, for Manchester United on the day. Both Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Marcus Rojo both ruled out with knee injuries for the remainder of the season. As Zlatan was
surgery.
Yeah, ACL and PCL.
Did you see the tidbit about that surgery?
No.
And why wouldn't he? He will be getting the surgery in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
What?
Yes. He's going to Pittsburgh to get this surgery. I crap you not.
If there's not a Ben Roethlisberger tie-in here, I don't really want to know any other details.
Yeah, he is going to go. He's going to rehab in Findlay, Ohio.
Well, there we go. that's an Ohio joke there. Yeah, so Zlatan out through January was what they're saying right now, which may or may not put the Skids on a potential MLS move.
I don't know. Actually,
it works out perfectly.
Yeah, we're ready just in time for the irony. Galaxy preseason.
I love Zlatan. I think he's awesome for the game. He is a talking point. I love talking points within the sport, not to mention ones that are also fantastic players. But the irony of this happening, like the week after he calls himself Benjamin Button, is about the funniest thing ever. Like, holy crap, getting bit on that one a little bit in a total old man injury where you hyperextend and you're falling backwards. So that was pretty funny. Marcus Rojo also out for the rest of the season with an ACL tear.
Yeah, hey, how about that? It is, though, with Zlatan. Kind of tragic, though, for us.
Mm-hmm.
As soccer fans, we almost certainly have seen him play his last touches of top-flight football.
Yeah.
Because I just don't see him coming back at that age from those injuries and being able to play in any of the top leagues. Okay, he's going to go to MLS, which is, hey, that's great, and we can watch it. But as far as him playing in top-flight European football, I think that died this week.
Yeah, I think it died. Absolutely. I think there's a chance he was going to stay in Europe if that had not happened. I think this pretty much pushes him over to the States.
Yeah.
I will say this much. Zlatan's 36. Having had an ACL blowout in my mid-20s, I am also in my mid-30s now. The idea of having to do that particular rehab again is mind-blowingly terrifying. Like, I can't – it is so hard. It is such a difficult surgery. The lack of mobility that you have for so long is unreal. It's going to be a miracle that he's able to come back. And, look, I make no doubt about this at all. He's going to come back.
He'll do it.
And he'll probably drop, 20 goals in MLS next year. But it's one of those things where it's a shame. We're going to miss him for the duration of this season. Because you're right. This is the last time we're going to see him at the upper echelons of the game.
An era coming to an end. Also coming to an end, Liverpool's hope of not embarrassing themselves down the stretch as they fall to Crystal Palace, the Crystal Palace that we talked about being a tough out these days. A familiar face to the cop. Got both goals for Crystal Palace.
Christian
Benteke.
Someone who didn't score a whole lot of those in front of the Klopp, or the Kop.
No, the Klopp said, hey, you're out of here.
Yeah. While he was playing with the Reds, getting that victory for Palace. Liverpool now 5 points behind Spurs, who have two matches in hand. Pretty much no way that they're going to catch them in this regard. Also, that pretty much eliminates any idea of a title challenge for them. Palace now up to 12th in the table, and 7 points clear from the drop zone. I think it's pretty safe to say at this point that they're safe as well. So that was a majority of your Premier League weekend. You'd mentioned a couple of these sides that were in the relegation races where Palace is now out of it. You'd mentioned Hull getting that 2-0 win over Watford.
Huge.
Huge for them. They stayed 2 points clear over Swansea.
Right, who also had a win, so they had to keep pace with them.
Yeah, so they did keep pace there. Bournemouth laying down a 4-0 win over top of Middlesbrough, which pretty much condemns Borough to the drop as they're now 7 points behind Hull. They do have a game in hand to work with, too.
And don't look now, Burnley is not safe.
Yeah.
Burnley is not safe.
Burnley now just above Hull in the table. I think just 3 points clear.
3 points clear.
So definitely not out of that fight yet. Sunderland delayed, obviously, because of the action with Arsenal at the weekend getting pushed back. But it's pretty much just they're going to need like a miraculous 12 points just gifted to them in some capacity for them to actually make up the gap between them and Hull at this stage in the table.
So Sunderland is 10 points back of 18th place.
Mm-hmm.
Goose cooked?
Yeah, it's cooked. There's literally no way they're coming back now.
Yep.
Going down, Blackcats. So. Promotion-wise, we mentioned Brighton. Obviously, they're going to be coming up.
Yep, they'll be up.
That we talked a bit about that last week. It's really exciting to see a new team come up. We haven't seen them in a long time. One that we have seen relatively recently also today.
Yeah, back-to-back Mondays, really. It was Brighton securing it last Monday.
That's right.
And Newcastle.
Yeah.
Wassa.
One season, bouncing back up. This is Rafa Benitez's third promotion he's gained so far. It's a pretty cool stat.
Yeah, I still can't get over the fact that he actually did this, that he actually went down. And this is a man that's won European titles, and here he is slumming it.
Well, it's kind of crazy. You think about some of the other top managers in the game right now who have won European titles, Mourinho, Guardiola.
Mm-hmm.
Mourinho, he did coach a lower side before taking over Porto. He won a cup competition with that. I can't remember, the name's escaping me at the moment, but then he took over Porto, who are obviously a giant in Portugal. But you don't really see a whole lot of top-level managers, like really, really top-level ones, get their start with like promoted sides. Rafa Benitez made a name for himself as a manager by promoting a side. That's a pretty cool thing, and the fact that he has won a European Cup.
But at this point in his career, he's done it. He's slummed for a year, and they're back up. To fight back in the Premier League.
back to fight relegation again?
Back to fight relegation. And now they'll have to go two straight years without getting to play their crosstown rivals. Sunderland will be kind of like ships passing in the night, just going the other direction.
Hey, we'll get you next time. So we're now basically in the heat of the moment in the championship. We're whittling down the playoff contenders at this point, now that we know the top two automatic promotion slots. And it's a dogfight down there at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Real quickly, though, I want to... Yeah, I mean, I think right now we know two that are going down. Middlesbrough and Sunderland, there's no hope for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no hope for you. Then it really just comes down to Swansea and Hull, and then now you got to say Burnley's in it. But I guess... I don't know. Yeah, you do have to say Burnley's in it. Because Leicester's right above Burnley, but they have two games in hand.
Yeah.
You got to think they're getting at least like a point or two out of that to extend themselves like 7 points off the drop. So they'll be fine. So I think it's those fighting for it. Let's real quickly look at the table as far as what we think will be the playoff race.
Mm-hmm.
To get that final spot in the Premier League. You have Reading.
Yeah, Reading currently sitting in third on 79 points. Sheffield Wednesday and both Huddersfield Town are tied on 78 points in the fourth and fifth slots. Leaving Fulham. Fulham, former Fulham America.
Yeah.
Favorites over here on this side of the pond.
They don't have any Americans right now.
That's no, they problem. Don't. Not one. Isn't Emerson Hinman only on loan at Rangers at the moment?
No, they sold him to Bournemouth, who then put him on loan.
That's right. So I'm a couple steps behind here. But Fulham sitting in that final slot for the promotional places, although Leeds United, who had looked locks for at least the promotion playoff places just a few weeks ago, now sitting 3 points adrift. So behind them, Norwich City in a distant 66, 10 points off.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about teams that we know of that will not be in this discussion. Norwich.
Yeah.
They're staying down. We kind of knew that. They were a team that just wasn't built to fight and get right back up.
Mm-hmm.
Aston Villa, they're down in 12th currently.
Yep, they're out of it. Derby County, who had also been up near the top of the table for large stretches this season, recent Premier League side too, they are out of the equation. Brentford, another smaller side that were up in the fight, they're gone as well. So that's pretty much the story there. I think the only...
Well, we got to mention two more names here. 19th place, Queen's Park Rangers, mm-hmm. and you're going to blow it, Wigan.
Oh,
heading,
yeah.
Heading down to League One.
Yeah, Wigan are likely to go down, along with Blackburn Rovers, who are looking real susceptible to it as well. Birmingham City potentially could get dragged into that fray in the championship. We're going to wait to talk a little bit about them until winners and wankers, though. Leave that on the burner.
Quickly mention, though, since we are talking relegation,
mm-hmm.
did you see who else got relegated this weekend?
No, who's that?
Leighton Orient, out of the football league.
Oh, that's right, completely out of the football league.
Out of League Two officially, finishing a putrid dead last. It was like 120 years or something like that that they had been in league football.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Wah, wah, wah. Bad deal. I mean, just a bad scene for them. Barry Hearn, former owner, he sells them off to just a disaster of a situation. So they're struggling from that point. Their best player, Jay Simpson, plays for the Philadelphia Union now. He's not going to be able to score them any goals. Just a bad scene for a team that just a couple years ago missed out on getting into the championship. Like, they finished third in League One.
Yeah.
Like, in 2014.
Yeah, it wasn't all that long ago. So, sad to see, you know, that type of situation unfold at a club like that with so much history. Also, too, they're kind of feeling the effects of this move of West Ham. West Ham are a club that are struggling with this move to Olympic Stadium. This has really been a move that's hurt Leighton Orient pretty hard as well, located pretty close to that stadium, and it's really hit them in a way that they weren't expecting it to necessarily up front. So all that said, it's sad to see a club that's got that long legacy finally dropping out of the professional ranks.
All right, let's go Champions League.
Mm.
We now have our semifinals set, and that is because we got to see the Leicester City sequel come to an end.
It had to come an end. We talked about this.
Yeah, I thought it was doable.
Like,
and it really wasn't that far off from not being doable.
No, well, it really wasn't too far at all. I think it was one of those situations where they came up against the perfect antithesis for them as far as like the way that they play.
Sure.
Atletico are legitimately the experts outside of maybe Juventus at grinding out like scoreless matches. Maybe pipping
one. Are you saying that Griezmann is the antithesis of Jamie Vardy?
Griezmann is the let's say this much. Jamie Vardy is the poor man's Griezmann. I think that's a better way of maybe explaining it. Griezmann being world class and Jamie Vardy being a guy who's on a bag of chips.
I don't know. I mean, chips are pretty cool.
I mean, I would be fine with eating some Jeremy chips.
I mean, we never got a hold of the Vardy crisps, so
at this point, I don't want any. They're probably stale.
I'll take them.
You'd eat them?
I'll give them a taste.
Why not?
Did we ever learn what the flavor was?
I think they were like salt and vinegar or something like
liver
that.
Liver and onions or something like that.
God, that seems about as Vardy as possible.
That seems like something
punchier in your
people would eat
punch
over there.
Yourself in the face flavor.
So they get it was Atletico getting past them 2-1 on aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the other one, it was we had Real Madrid.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Leicester, by the way, Vardy getting that goal. And that,
oh, yeah,
he's the first Englishman to score in a Champions League quarterfinal since Frank Lampard in, like, 2012.
Yeah.
It's gone that well for England in the top competition in Europe at this point. Move on to the next.
Real Madrid, they don't have an Englishman. They have a Welsh guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
didn't play much of this.
No, they didn't really need him to, as they took care of Bayern Munich. Things were nip and tuck. Oh, it's going to be, we're going extras. And then Ronaldo drops a hat trick.
Yeah. Keep in mind, too, there was a pretty...
That two of them were offside.
Well, there's that. And there's also the pretty nefarious red card that was handed to Alexis, Vidal, who picked that up.
Yeah, that was kind of a...
Look, I get it. A lot of people hate Real Madrid. It's totally fine. Guys, it was still 6-3 aggregate.
6-3, yeah.
That's a pretty – Real were pretty perfect on the road at Bayern as well. And this is a side that a Bayern side that many people kind of thought was they're finally ready to get over that hump again. Yeah. So a pretty convincing win on the whole. Monaco 3, Dortmund 1. That means 6-3 win on aggregate for Monaco. Mbappe,
Mbappe and company rolling on.
Kids South 18. Monaco are the first ever Champions League side to score 3 goals in 4 straight matches. Which is crazy considering the competition.
Yeah.
And the side that actually achieved that feat. Dortmund crashing out.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for them, obviously, what happened to them in the first leg.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to think that that hampered them throughout.
Yeah. And then the final one, Barca 0, Juventus 0. That means Juventus advanced 3-0 on aggregate.
Yeah, the large epic comeback by Barcelona just never showed up.
No, couldn't come back twice in a row, at least 2 rounds in a row. So that means your semifinal draws are now set. Atletico and Real, Monaco and Juventus.
Otherwise known as the one I didn't want to have.
What
I wanted, Atletico and Monaco to go at it. And I wanted Real Madrid, probably the best attacking side left, to go against Juventus that's, you know, going to be super defensive.
Stalwart defensive. Yeah. I mean, I think both of these matches line up two incredibly offensive sides against two really sound defensive
sides.
Sure,
yeah. That's kind of why I'm like it.
Which leaves us the possibility of either having
really awesome match.
One incredibly awesome final or one incredibly boring final.
Yeah.
But most likely to be one that involves one of the more defensive sides and one of the more offensive sides is likely what will come out of that. The nice part about all of this is the fact that we're likely to see someone who's made the final not recently. I do really enjoy that aspect of it and hope that we get to see someone like Monaco or Atletico actually have a shot at the title.
Yeah, Atletico Monaco would be, I think, is my hope for the final.
It'd be
that'd
cool.
That'd be a fun final.
Yeah.
All right, let's go stateside.
Mm-hmm. So plenty of MLS action at the weekend. Obviously, New England, being one of the sides that played twice over the week, they're getting a 0-0 draw against San Jose, Snorfest, followed up with a 2-2 draw with DC United. Kind of an up-and-down week in MLS on the whole. You kind of saw a lot of that. It was teams that you expected to do well, not necessarily doing well, and teams that have been doing poorly, sometimes slipping in and getting a result. One of those teams that was not one that's been doing poorly and did not get a good result, LA Galaxy. 0-3 loss at home to Seattle.
Yeah.
Someone who's a bit of a rival with that club, too.
It is going to – I mean, we all knew this was going to be – the story for LA this year.
Post Bruce, Onofalo's team is now 2-5-0. 2-5-0 so far this season. 2 wins on the year. Second bottom of the West at the moment. Just a place that's very uncomfortable for LA. Like, I can't imagine that Onofalo isn't like on a hot seat right now.
Yeah, or does the Galaxy ownership just go, yeah, this is just gonna be a lean year? Yeah.
Could write it off.
I mean, financially, we knew it was going to be linear for them. They weren't going to be spending as much as they were in past years.
I think the other side of it, too, is they're gearing up for a big 2018. Obviously, with a new in-town rival coming into the league, I think they're trying to stack the deck for next year.
Got to get in that bidding war for Chicharito.
Yeah. Maybe by that time, Bruce Arena will be back in the seat.
That would be a pretty tragic situation for U.S. men's national
team. For everyone in that
sense. That would mean something really horrible happened.
Either that or someone really awesome becomes available.
Okay. I don't know who that would be.
Hashtag Pep Guardiola to U.S. men's national team.
Frank Yollop's available now.
Ooh,
He just resigned from
never
Phoenix.
Mind. Nope. Let's not go that route.
Other matches. Philly and Montreal played with 3-3 draw. Houston kind of gets back in winning ways after stumbling the last couple weeks. They get a 2-0 victory over San Jose. Portland keeps the train rolling as they beat, I guess it's Cascadia rival, Vancouver 2-1.
Yeah, remaining top of the table with that.
The juggernaut Columbus Crew Lose 2-0 at the Red Bulls. Red Bulls finally getting a worthwhile win under their belt on the season.
Crazy enough, they're up at the like fourth at the moment. Yeah. We've been talking about how bad of a season they've been having, and they're just quietly hanging in there.
Yeah, I think that some of that's perception, right? We just assumed that they were going to come out and just thrash people,
A side that is now sitting on top of the East, Orlando getting a big win on the road, 3-1 over top of New York City FC, who had also gotten off to a bit of a hotter start than we had all expected.
Kyle Larin playing pretty good this year.
Kyle Larin, definitely one of the top strikers in the league.
6 goals on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And goals that have been, I mean, that have willed his team into 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's to a large regard kind of carrying it.
Yeah.
Kind of carrying a lot of water for them. Minnesota getting another win.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Miguel Ibarra. There's an awesome picture doing the rounds right now where he's basically about to tap in the game winner. And it's just a really, really cool picture to see a guy who means so much to those fans. Was really happy to come back to a team where he's kind of a cult hero.
So I talked about it when we were asked on the pod, hey, when's Minnesota United going to win a match? And I said, well, when they play Salt Lake or when they play Colorado, maybe.
Mm.
They've won those and only those.
Yeah, that's exactly what they've done. SC Dallas and Sporting Kansas City and a little right behind the top of the table in the West clash. FCD coming out on top 1-0. Big win for them. And then Atlanta, another one of those teams that's come out hot out of the gates. The expansion side, you and I both picked to have a fairly good first year. They get a big win, 3-1 over RSL.
And they're still playing without their main scoring threat.
Mm-hmm.
Josef Martinez still out.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been Hector Villalba kind of being the offense.
Mm-hmm.
They're a fun side to watch. And, I'm glad to see that they're playing well. Kind of a cool, different kind of style of a team. I mean, we talked about it almost like a Liga MX side. A lot of South American players, a lot of run and gun.
Yeah. Only other match that we've left out, actually, two. 3-1 win for Toronto over top of Chicago. Sebastian Giovinco back doing Giovinco amazing things from set pieces.
Yeah, Toronto just as a whole. I guess as Giovinco goes, so goes Toronto. Mm-hmm. Back. You know, kind of playing like the team we expected them to be this season.
Yeah, you know, we talked a lot about New York having a bad start to the year, and they're actually doing fine, whereas you look at Toronto, the team a lot of people expected to build upon their MLS Cup appearance last year. Maybe this was the year that they were going to finally take off, but been slow start, but now getting their feet underneath them a bit as well. The other match, Philly 3, Montreal 3. Philly's still the only team winless in Major League Soccer at this point.
Yeah.
How Jim Curtin's still on the job?
Well, considering one of their bigger signings, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, in January, was a guy from Leighton Orient.
Yeah, not a good sign.
Anything else? Anything else you want to, I mean, you guys had little FC Cincinnati. You guys had the big homestand there.
Yeah, big homestand for us playing the top three teams in the East starting last Saturday. Obviously, we talked about that one, a big 4-0 win over St. Louis, Preki's team. Then we faced Tampa Bay Rowdies, a new team in the league this year, heavily stocked with players you probably know, biggest of the list being Joe Cole. Had a quick minute to chat with Joe.
How's he doing these days?
Great guy. He was very, very courteous, very professional.
I mean, he seems like he's digging being here. I mean, we're going to USL now. All right, I'll still stay.
I mean, he obviously was humoring me in a way that most professional athletes are trained to do. But at the same time, he seemed very genuine and it was nice enough and didn't seem like he was unhappy to be playing here in Cincinnati and was legitimately excited. He's like, I heard a lot of things about what you guys do. Like, I'm looking forward to watching it.
That's the Chelsea side of him.
Mm-hmm.
When he almost tried to kill Jimmy McLaughlin. That was the Liverpool side of him.
To be fair,
you learn different things.
I'm not so certain that he knew there. My wife actually had the tweet of the night on this one. She said, think about it this way. A whole lot of people in Cincinnati could never say they've been kicked in the face by Joe Cole. And Jimmy McLaughlin, people are jealous of you.
Yeah.
So congrats to my wife for getting that awesome tweet out. So 1-1 draw there for FC Cincinnati. And then Louisville City, big rivals from down the river, make the trip up to town, get the early go-ahead goal through Brian Ombe, a player who was legitimately on fire throughout the course of the game. And then FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, that whole little run up, that whole play to get that goal was fantastic.
And then Aiden Quinn. Yeah. Former Louisville City captain, classy little tap-in goal.
Yeah, and then he celebrates huge. He was kissing the badge.
He was a consummate professional. Didn't celebrate the goal. Obviously, doing what was right in that type of situation. You always like to see that. And then, of course, there's been the controversy and a potential what was ultimately a sending off of our new striker Jibby.
Sent off for a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now some extracurriculars that have been alleged along with that.
Yeah, we'll wait to address that at a later point.
I mean, close shave America, close shave Barbasol.
Let's not chew on that right now.
Well, there are poop emojis also in this match.
can we
highlight that?
Yeah, there's a visiting stand supporters section. It's kind of at the corner of the stadium. They're separated from the rest of the stands by two large tarps.
Yeah, gotta separate the unwashed masses from the regular general population.
Yeah, that's right. It's usually a section not populated by many people, given that not a ton of away traveling happens in this league. But
well, and then the previous week, all the St. Louis people were sitting somewhere else.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they chose to sit on the other side.
Yeah.
That said, some poop emojis were thrown on to the tarps there.
Yeah.
Underneath the line, kind of looked like
the line was dropping one.
I'd love to blame, as much as I'd love to blame the Louisville fans for this, I know we have some people that listen to this in Louisville. This was actually a FC Cincinnati deed that got those poop emojis out there.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm. Did not go to plan. Mm. Basically backfired on them.
So they decided to throw the poop emojis at the Louisville people, and the Louisville people said, all right, well, now we're going to make it look like your lion is dropping a deuce here at Nippert.
Pretty much. That's exactly what happened. So it did not work out as planned. Three big matches, getting draws in those last two. Look, 5 points against those top three teams. I'm going to take that, given that we started off on the road for three straight matches. Overall, FC Cincinnati hanging in there.
What that puts you guys in fifth place right now. Charleston at the top. Heard of them?
Yeah.
Louisville, right behind them. Tampa Bay, St. Louis. So those three teams that you faced, they're still right there at the top.
Yeah.
They didn't leave. You guys just joined them.
Yeah.
Other news, I guess, in USL, we mentioned Frank Yollop.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to peace out.
Yeah, he is now out at Pittsburgh now that Didier Drogba is in. A lot of speculation as to who or what was behind that decision. And
they did make a club statement that it will not be Didier Drogba.
No, he will not be the manager. That is probably...
They had to go out and make that statement.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that's actually probably the wise choice there.
You didn't want a player-manager-owner situation?
There seems to be some conflicts of interest in there. Just maybe.
That seems like something that would happen in fourth division soccer.
Never in second division soccer, though.
No.
We're past that point.
We're not that league anymore.
Yeah, we're past that point.
Drogba's here. I don't know when he's actually going to plan on playing. He kind of just wandered around and waved at people during the match this week. Let's go winners and wankers.
Yeah, we can do that. I'll start off by sharing my winner this week.
I feel
okay about it. I'm getting mine. I said that we were going to come back to it. I'm going to give it to new Birmingham City manager, Harry Redknapp.
When did this appointment happen?
Last week.
Oh, wow. How did I miss that?
Yeah, at the end of the week. It's incredible. Harry Redknapp, a guy who refuses to take jobs that are far away from the south coast of England where he lives.
And from his tax shelter dogs.
Well, yeah, in France, reportedly. Redknapp takes a job at Birmingham City, which, by the way, is nowhere near the South Coast. Nowhere remotely close. For the remainder of the season. At that point, there was only three matches left in the season. The reason why he's taking over from the resigned Gianfranco Zola is because Birmingham are flirting, literally just hovering right above the relegation zone.
Wait a minute.
in the championship.
You tell me Zola's on the market?
Yeah.
And Drogba just got another manager fired, possibly?
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Zola to Phoenix? Get that rumor started.
I have legitimately seen your favorite manager, a man who brought you your first Champions League title.
RDM?
I've seen that name.
Oh, man.
Seen it linked.
I literally, I'd probably just weep, openly weep tears of joy if that happened.
Oh, my God.
I just incredible. Moved to Phoenix. I mean, you would be like, hey, I would... You'd be sitting here on a Monday night waiting for me to show up.
Hey,
like,
Gotham Soccer, we need to put a league in Phoenix.
We have one.
Yeah.
I can be like, I can go babysit it.
All right, there you go.
Hey, guys, we need boots on the ground.
How about that? But the reason why I'm giving it to Harry Redknapp, 3 games left this season, just 2 points hovering above the drop zone right now. Good old Harry finding a way for himself to get paid without doing a whole lot of work. 3 weeks of work. I guarantee there's a contract clause in there that's if they go down, he doesn't have to go down with them.
So he's just collecting a check.
Just collecting a check for a few weeks. Why not?
It was fun. I feel like just the other day I was sitting there going like, why isn't Redknapp managing anywhere lately?
Because he doesn't feel like it. Oh, by the way, they lost his first game in charge 1-0 to Aston Villa.
Sweet.
Yeah. You're a wanker. Or excuse me, you're a winner.
My winner... As we watch highlights of it, El Clasico, it was actually fun to watch this time.
Oh, man, it was a good one.
Because sometimes it's totally not.
Yeah. A lot of times El Clasico turns into a foul fest.
Yeah, absolutely. It's every bit of what you don't like about Spanish football. Start, stop, no rhythm.
People crowding the ref.
Taking sniper fire every 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. There was a bit of that in this match.
Yeah, there's always going to be a bit of it. Mm-hmm. But it was still... We had some great moments, some great goals. And obviously then you have Messi... After having finally surgically removed Marcelo's elbow from his face.
Oh, he got clocked there. Yeah. I don't necessarily know that it was an intentional foul.
He looked like he was going down. Mm-hmm. Like he was like coughing up blood.
Yeah, I mean there's definitely visible blood being pouring from his mouth / nose.
And then with 10 seconds before the final whistle was ready to blow, he fires home the winner. That not only was like, hey, we beat you, you know, suck on that,
mm-hmm.
Also pulls them level in the table.
How about that?
So we got a race over in Spain.
That we do. How about your wanker?
My wanker, and I think this might be yours too, because it's probably everybody's, because it was a bit of a viral video or a viral photo. The lady in the Toronto airport that asked that nice young German lad if he could take a picture of her and these Chicago Fire guys that she's just run into here at baggage claim.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Are you guys from the television show?
Yeah.
By the way, former Chicago Fire defender Austin Berry, that's one of his favorite stories to tell about Major League Soccer, is that while he played for the Fire all the time, people thought he either was a member of the Chicago Fire department,
right,
or was a star on the show Chicago Fire. Yeah, anyway, this lady
got maybe she did think that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't look, I mean,
but she asked Bastian Schweinsteiger,
yeah, hey, can you
take this picture with me,
and he was like, yeah, sure, whatever,
I'll do that. I didn't want to give her a wanker because I felt more bad for her than anything.
No, F that lady.
Know who you're taking a picture with.
Yeah.
I ended up going a little bit of a different route. I went with Dynamo Kiev supporters who hung a gigantic 100% white banner at their recent Kiev derby match against Shakhtar Donetsk, while also wearing a bunch of swastika and Hitler t-shirts.
Oh, for real?
Really, really cool. All this, of course, unfolding while UEFA inspectors were there to assess whether or not the stadium was ready to host the 2018 Champions League final. So
structurally, you guys are ready. Emotionally, I think you're not.
Socially.
Socially.
We're not there. This is pretty much par for the course, though, in Kiev, a place where anti-Semitism has really taken root. This is the most incredible. This is why I was also tossing this in on wanker perspective. The denseness of the Ukrainian people who are wearing Hitler and pro-Nazi stuff shows just how little they know about that entire situation.
A little lack of history.
A little education here. Hitler and the Nazis literally had a plan to exterminate the Slavic people, like literally wipe them from the planet. 7 million Ukrainians were killed by German Nazis.
Yeah, but don't worry. I mean, Russia is going to take over Ukraine.
That's a good point.
And the Russians always are about, you know, peace and love and acceptance.
That's a good point.
We're good to go.
Yeah. Communism is good.
Yeah. Never cause problems.
Never. No. That's our wankers.
Yeah.
I think that gets us to the end of this week.
It does. I want to give myself an honorable winner award for not making Sergio Garcia again my winner. Because he actually was at El Clasico.
Yeah, I saw that.
And did the ceremonial kick, which, man, he put the laces on that one.
Yeah, he really did. He
killed that ball.
Got a hold of it.
He was wearing, like, dress shoes.
Risky.
I mean, normally it's like some like 100-year-old guy that played like, hey, this guy won the title for us back in 1923.
I'm like, look at that.
And, you know, and they don't even show. It's kind of like, again, another tie-in back to the Masters. When they do the ceremonial first tee shot with Jack and mm-hmm. was Arnie, but he's passed now. So it's just Jack and Gary Player. And they hit the ceremonial first tee shot, but the camera never shows where it goes.
Yeah, it just shows the swing.
Because it was probably, you know, it, like 120 yards into the trees
right.
or like hit a guy or something.
Not
Sergio
so this
freaking
time.
Smoked that thing.
My one chance to shine. if you do want to get involved with next week's show or any of the future ones for that matter, give us an email. We'll read it. We'll decide if it's worthy. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com. If you want to get a hold of Jeremy on Twitter, it's Jeremy Lance on Twitter. Or me, you can get me at wrongsideofthepond. That's all we got for you this week.
Sergio hit that thing and then he hugged Sergio Ramos. Mm-hmm. And you know, he just whispered to him, hey man, watch your tackles.
Kill Messi today. All right.
Don't get sent off.
Or do.
Or do.
22nd time. See ya.
Bye.